Well, today's message, and I've prayed on this for a little while, is without love, I am nothing. And our scripture comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And before we dive into the service, I just want to read all of it together. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and the understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I could and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity is envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unreasonably, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but rather there be prophecy, there be, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. This concludes the reading of God's word today. Here in chapter 13, Paul was speaking to the Corinthians about their lack of love and their utilization of their gifts that God had given them. And see, what the Apostle Paul was conveying to both the Corinthians and to us today, I want to make sure that I emphasize that Scripture is the same yesterday, today, and always will be forever. But he was talking to them and us that we are given these gifts so that we can build his church. And although these gifts are very important, they will soon lose their value if they are not accompanied by love, which is shown throughout this chapter that Paul has given to us. A good example of this, and I told Chris this earlier, I love to eat, okay? I'm telling you, anybody who knows me knows I love to eat, okay? But I only like to eat good food, and I don't care if you're baking a cake or making a pie or putting a pot roast together and you put all the different ingredients together to make whatever you're making. And for me today, we'll use pot roast because I like roast and I like potatoes and carrots to go with it. So you take and you put all those pots, all those things in a pot, right? And then sometimes it tastes just okay. It tastes just okay. But see, there's something. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a good cook, okay? But I'm not as good as my wife, and I'm not as good as my mother or my grandmother. Because what they always put into it was love. And guess what? Love made it taste a whole lot better. That's just the deal. And guys who can't cook, y'all can say amen because y'all like to eat too, I know. You see, that's what we have to do on a daily basis. We have to put love into everything we do. It's not just good enough to just go out and do it. You know, Nike has this saying with your tennis shoes, just do it. I'm going to tell you, just do it and put love with it. But getting to our points, our first point is spiritual gifts without love, which is in verses 1 through 3. And just so that you know, family, it's okay if I call you family. We're all Christians, brothers and sisters. I like to take them and give a verse and break down and go through it. So the first verse, verse 1, says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, the Lord has blessed each of us the ability to open our mouth and speak. You see, and we have that, we can talk both to humans and we can talk to God in the spiritual realm, right? And we do that with our tongues. But if it's not accompanied by love, it'll be useless. And I need to go back and I'll talk about this a little bit further. But this word in the King James Version, and it's the only version that does this, because I even went back and looked at the New King James Version that I usually like to use. But the word charity in Greek means love. So I want to make sure that we're not getting things confused here. You see, the Lord has blessed, as I already said, the Lord has already blessed us with the ability to speak with our tongues. But you see, according to Jesus, the ability to speak both in human and in heavenly, and to do it without passion or the application of his true agape love, is a bunch of meaningless words that were given to God. I'm just saying the plain out. And all it is a good for nothing noise. Think about it like this. What happens when we go to a concert and the orchestra is getting together and they're all playing their different musics, trying to get them warmed up? And it sounds like a bunch of gobbledygook, right? And so when the conductor brings them together and he takes his, I don't know what that thing's called. It's called, I'm going to call it a wand. And he goes like this and everybody stops, right? And then when he starts waving that wand and directs different individuals to play their music, that music sounds good. The only reason I know that is because I watched my daughter a lot of times play cello in her high school orchestra. And I watched them all make this ungodly noise. And I'm just like sitting there saying, please, will you just get it on? You know? And then the orchestra leader would and bring them all together. You see, that's exactly what happens when we don't use agape love like God has taught us. You see, the Greeks, they spoke about four different types of degrees of love. The first one is the empathy bond, which is storage love. The next one is a friend bond, which is called philia. Then there's that romantic love, which is called eros. And then, guess what? Then there's this unconditional love, which Scripture in the Greek tell us is God's true agape love. You see, the love that is spoken here is not about human emotion. Rather, it's about God's true love. And it allows us to put others first. You see? But we know that it's God's awesome agape love that is the most powerful love. Can I get an amen on that? Man, we're in church. We're supposed to be having some life here. Not in the funeral. I preached a few of them. You see, in fact, Jesus, he talked about how God the Father demonstrated his love for all of us, which we celebrated just a few short weeks ago. And Jesus tells us in John 3:16-17, and I like those two verses together. I think we stop short when we just use John 3:16. But he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's half the promise. Verse 17 says, for God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but rather that the world might be saved through him. Let me ask you a question. Now, I remember back in the Old Testament where God had Abraham take Isaac up to the mountain, right? His only son between him and Sarah. And God had him build this altar and put some sticks on there. And he was getting ready to strike Isaac. And God said, no! How many fathers today would take their only child and sacrifice them? I think not none of us. And God demonstrated that for each and every one of us here today. You see, but Paul tells us further in verses 2 and 3, he tells us, and although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mystery and all the knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my good deeds to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. You see, through prophecy, God has given some folks the ability to foresee the future. Okay? And to see future events. Now, I'm not saying that anybody here is a prophet, and I'm not saying that any of us are disciples, but he has given us the word, so we do know what's going to happen later on in his time. But we get to bring the message to the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And along with prophecy, God has blessed some with a tremendous amount of wisdom and knowledge and faith. But if these gifts that God has given us doesn't have, and they're not combined with love, they are totally worthless as Paul said in verse 3. You see, the faith that the Apostle Paul is proclaiming is not just faith that leads to eternal life, but a high degree of trust in the Trinity as we face and endure our overwhelming storms. And that's another story. That's another message by itself. But let me ask you a question. Because we know that Jesus said that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Is that not what he said? Amen. Now, that's not to say pray to him and believe that he can move Mount Rainier into the Puget Sound. That ain't going to happen. Okay? But it's to have that faith and trust that he is going to take care of everything that we have going on today. And I believe that with every breath I have in my body. That there's nothing that God can't do. But see, true love gives us the ability to give sacrificially and to put others over ourselves first. Luke talks about this in Luke chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, the Lord, that the half of my goods that I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation comes to this house, for as much as he also is of the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which is lost." You see, from this particular passage, Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, learned what it meant to truly give love and not just to give material things, but give true agape love. You see, sometimes the act of charity or love or risking one's life are sometimes done through selfish motives. And since love played no part in these actions, they are of no value to God's kingdom. And guess what? We gain absolutely nothing if we do it for self-reasons. We have to do it for God reasons. We have to do it because God directed us to do it. Which brings us into our second point. What love is and is not in verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 says, "Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity is envy not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up." Love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest command God has given us and enables us to have patience when dealing with other people. Now I want you to know, family, I'm not talking to just you. I'm talking to me. And I want you to know, my former profession, a long time ago, I was a soldier. And when I was a soldier, I went to that little place called Desert Storm. And me being the NCO, I had troops underneath me. And my first sergeant used to tell me, "Patience is a virtue." And I still hear his voice over here in my ear. "Patience is a virtue." Well, Jesus tells us that too. You see, patience also translates into long suffering. It allows one to de-escalate tension, where so that we have the ability to overlook the other person's weakness. You know, none of us are perfect. And the last time I checked in Scripture, only two people walked on water and only one of them were perfect. Right? But Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to look at chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Paul tells the Galatians, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law." You see, the fruit of the Spirit is the exact characteristics that Jesus is looking for in you and me. And by the way, when I'm pointing at y'all, I got a whole big hand pointing back at me. You see, these are exact characteristics that all believers must possess. Agape love is also kind. It enables us to generously respond to the needs of others like we're supposed to. You see, we freely receive love and kindness from God. So we must, and He expects us to share it with everyone, to include the ones we don't like. You see, love is not envious and it's not proud. And oh, by the way, listen to this, it don't boast. You see, these were three problematic areas, or three problems that the Corinthians have. And guess what? We in the United States today have the exact same problem. Excuse me. We have the exact same problem. You see, this is why Paul wrote this in this chapter to the Corinthians and us. Those with lesser gifts envy those with greater gifts and become arrogant, boast about their accomplishments. And these types of hearts cannot serve God. In fact, there's a whole lot of places in God's Scripture where He says He does not want it to be around the proud. If they're not humble, He doesn't want it. Just saying. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, Peter tells us this: "Above all things, have fervent charity, love, among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so, minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man ministers, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter was very clear here to all of us. So getting back on track with verse 5, Paul tells us, "Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, it is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. From these verses, we can see that love does not dishonor. It doesn't humiliate. It doesn't show rudeness to others. Instead, love allows us to consider all others, put all others above ourselves, and treat each other the way you want to be treated. You know, there's that golden rule. Jesus talks about it. But I like to go back to my mother. My mother used to say, you treat people the way you want to be treated and you will be fine. You know what? She was right. That was one of the few times I listened to her. You see, love doesn't keep any records of the number of times the number of times that others have wronged us. It helps us to forgive and overlook imperfections of others. You know, when we start keeping accountability for the wrongs that others have done, what it eventually does is it causes and it harbors hatred. It causes ill will towards the other person. And oh, by the way, guess what? Jesus put that little clause in the Gospels. He said, if you can't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. Just saying. Don't hate me. It's in Scripture. After explaining what love was and was not, the Apostle Paul explains what it does not. And he does this by giving us four positive attributes of love, which starts in our final point, how love endures forever, verses 8 through 7. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but rather there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You see, love protects. This does not mean that we hide the sin of others, but we protect them from the embarrassment of gossip or other harmful situations. Love always trusts, always thinking the best of others. This does not necessarily mean that we have to be gullible. You know, sometimes we have folks that tell us these big stories. Okay? And I would never say anybody to their, as they're telling me these stories, well, I really can't believe it. Well, sometimes I have, but we don't have to believe everything they say, but we should give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, I will tell you, I know of an individual, and I can't give you his name, but I do know of an individual. I used to work for Alaska Airlines, and this friend of mine told me that he flew this glider from Florida to Olympia in 3 hours, okay? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I said, I've been on some 747-400s and 800s that can't fly that fast. See, that's just being plain gullible. Okay? You see, love always hopes. Believers who always look forward rather than backward. You know, I got to tell you, our God's a good God. I am so glad He didn't put eyes on the back of my head so I don't have to walk backwards. Think about that. We're supposed to be moving forward, not looking backward at somebody else's stuff and taking and worrying about what happened yesterday. Yesterday happened. We need to move forward. You see, we're supposed to be looking and seeking for every opportunity to mature in our Christian faith. Love endures. According to the Lord, love is the greatest commandment. And He saves us. He saved every one of us because of His love, which will endure forever and ever. You see, even after Christ comes back to take all of us who said yes to Him, to heaven, love's never going to stop. God's Word, I know right here, we don't say right here, but I know right here on a lot of Bibles, it says the Holy Bible. I'm telling you, this is not the Bible. This is God's love. He gave us His Word so that we could not only look at what happened in the past so we don't make those same mistakes. You see, humans are we're like squirrels and gerbils. We get on this wheel and we don't know how to get off. God tells us how to get off. All we got to do is open up and read. Listen to Him. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You see, God's love is so great. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. You know, this knowledge that we have regarding spiritual matters is incomplete. But when we go into heaven, guess what? We will see the whole pie that God wants us to see. See, right now we just see a sliver of it. And for me, I just see a sliver of a sliver. You see, eventually, all of the spiritual gifts God gave us will cease to exist, but one thing for sure, His agape love will go on forever and ever and ever. Let me ask you, family, how big is forever? This big. You're right. How big is everlasting? This big. So in closing, in just a minute, I'm going to give you a benediction. But in closing, here's something for you to think about. Although hatred is still alive and well, I mean, you cannot turn on Como, Cairo, I don't care, Fox, CNN, without seeing all the nasty hatred that's going on. And I don't care what them politicians say, ain't none of them can fix it. The only one that can fix it is God. But we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can defeat Satan, and that's what's going on. Satan's in his little happy world right now. We can defeat him in his turmoil, and we can do that by the very love that God gives each and every person in this building. Just think, if each and every one of us went out and shared just a little bit of love with somebody, how much better off would the world be? Think about that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, at this time, and I don't want anybody to be peeking, because this is between the individual and God. But if you're saved today and you know it, you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven, just lift your hand. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. To those of you who didn't, there was a few who didn't. But let me ask you this. Is there something that you heard today where God touched your heart that makes you want to say yes? Say, Jesus, please help me. Come into my heart. Save me. I want to be able to show that same true agape love with somebody else. I want to be able to tell them about how you went to the cross and died for me. Shed your blood for me. If you would just simply raise up your hand. Ain't nobody showing. Ain't nobody peeking. The only one that sees is me and God. Father God, I just thank you today for this message. I thank you for your words. And Father, I just ask that if there's that you be with everyone here. I just pray that this message touch each and every heart here so that they can use it according to your will. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.